Monday, March 2nd, 2026, Board of Equalization at 2:45, followed by Board of Commissioners meeting at 3 p.m.
The Board of Equalization. Everyone stand for the Pledge of Allegiance, please.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Roll call.
Brian.
Present.
Rick.
Yes.
Jeff.
Here.
Marty.
Yep.
Rogelio.
Yes.
Current copy of the Open Meeting Act is posted on the west wall near the entrance of the county board meeting room. It's available for review by all citizens in attendance. The Dakota County Board of Equalization reserves the right to adjust the order of items on the agenda if necessary. First one, number one consent agenda item, approval of previous minutes, January 5th, 2026.
Motion to approve consent agenda item A.
I'll second.
All right, Rick?
Yes.
Jeff?
Yes.
Marty?
Yep.
Rogelio?
Yes.
Brian?
Yes. Two, new business A, 2:45 p.m. Well, it's a little late on that, but public hearing for applicants requesting tax exemption on real and personal property by qualifying organizations for the purpose of hearing oral and or written testimony for the qualifying organizations who filed exemption application form 451-7-202.01. Arborfin Investments, LLC, a.k.a. Regency Square, LLC. Everything.
Chris, you got it? No?
Yeah.
It's just a form that the nursing homes can fill out to be partially tax exempt.
It's new, though.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Is it something they've done in the past?
I think this is the second year of it, I do believe.
So you're okay with it?
Yeah.
Good to go?
Yeah.
So move to approve tax exempt for Regency Square.
We had a closed hearing.
There we go.
Oh,
I had
a closed hearing.
All right. At 2:55 or 2:50, we'll close the hearing. B, board to consider the rank applications of county assessor and other information as may attained and shall approve or deny.
Make my motion again to approve Regency Square, LLC.
I'll say it.
Jeff?
Yes.
Marty?
Yep.
Rogelio?
Yes.
Brian?
Yes.
Rick?
Yes.
Board approve appoint and set compensation for the use of certified appraisers as referees for property value evaluation protest 2026 7-1503.01. Compensation be paid from the general miscellaneous funds. Approve referee agreement with appraisal services for residential and commercial. So should we stop there and do a motion for that one and then go to the next one?
Yeah. The same one we had last. Yeah. Both are the same ones we had last year.
People, right? Are the rates the same?
That I couldn't tell you.
They didn't change.
They didn't change.
It didn't look like it. Looked like they were same. Motion to approve innovative appraisal services for the residential commercial.
I'd second that.
Marty?
Yep.
Rogelio?
Yes.
Brian?
Yes.
Rick?
Yes.
Jeff?
Yes.
And number two, approve referee agreement with Helvig Agricultural Service Company by Ag Partials for Ag Partials.
Make motion to approve Helvig Ag Service Company for be referee for the Ag Partials.
Go ahead, for you.
Rogelio?
Yes.
Brian?
Yes.
Rick?
Yes.
Jeff?
Yes.
Marty?
Yep.
Christy, requesting approval for tax list corrections. 100081-2201-65904. Joel, how?
Yeah, that's a trailer in Attica that they tore down and we accelerated the taxes on it.
Okay.
And number 1008220274468, CDA of SSC, South Sioux City.
This is a city property that we sent them an intent to tax. It's a piece beside the Great West building they leased from the city. We sent them an intent to tax. Somehow on the computer, it didn't get taken off that it was exempt. So we sent the correction in that they need to pay it, and now they're mad because they don't want to pay the interest. So I don't know about the interest, nothing to do with me. I am just simply doing the correction to get it back on the tax roll. So I don't know how the interest works, not my issue. They're just mad they have to pay it. That's all I know.
1008832202746.
Yeah, it was for 24 and 25 is the correction.
DCA of SSC of South Sioux City.
What's DAC stand for?
It's supposed to be CDA.
Oh, supposed to be CDA.
Yeah, it's CDA. It's
a little dyslexic there on that one.
Right.
It has DCA on that one, though. It's not my dyslexia.
DCA, DCA.
Yeah.
It's all right. So, yeah, there's no reason it shouldn't have been taxed. So we did a correction as soon as we saw it. And Nancy probably should have saw it, too, why it said zero when she got the tax payment, if there was an intent to tax. She didn't say anything either, so whatever works. I just went ahead and did the correction.
Okay. And 10084 to 10102.
Those are all homestead exemptions that the state gives me. There's nothing to really approve or disapprove.
Perfect.
Make a motion to approve the corrections items 10081 through 10102.
I'd second that.
Brian?
Yes.
Rick?
Yes.
Jeff?
Yes.
Marty?
Yep.
Rogelio?
Yes.
Mail and emergency business.
I don't know of any.
Public comment? Then I will make a motion to adjourn.
Second.
All right, it's 3 o'clock. We'll go ahead and start our commissioner meeting. A current copy of the Open Meeting Act is posted on the west wall near the entrance of the county boardroom and is available for review by all citizens in attendance. Go ahead and take attendance.
Marty?
Yep.
Rogelio?
Present.
Brian?
Present.
Rick?
Here.
Jeff?
Here.
We'll go ahead and start with public comment. So if there's anybody who would like to speak on anything that is not on today's agenda, now would be the time to come forward. State your name and...
Bob Krecke, filling in city administrator, South Dakota City. First off, sorry for not getting on the agenda with me being there part-time. I apologize for the tardiness on this. I come before you today to ask you guys to sign a couple letters of support for us. We are going after some congressional directed spending towards repair of what we call North 14th. You may think of it as Dakota Avenue in front of Tyson, and then coming all the way around through Dakota City to cover all the way out to Highway 7735. Previous bids we've had on, or previous stuff we've had with help from engineer, and Baylor can jump in if he wants. He's here, have to be here for something else, but... just for the portion from Dakota City up to where up to South Sioux where it's paved there, they were looking at $2.8 million. City of Dakota City can't afford that.
Yeah.
To come all the way through, we're looking at, in my rough numbers, $4.2 million, okay? Maybe more, maybe less. So we are going after some congressional directed spending. Congressman Smith is asking that paperwork be to his office by this Friday. We have not heard from Senator Fisher when she is asking for paperwork to be to her office yet. We are going to shoot for the whole line for around $4.2 million possibly, somewhere around that ballpark, to try to get this whole road redone one time really good. And this is not to, like, tear it up and redo it. This is just to repair it, you guys. We're doing some mill and overlay through here. We would add some medians by this set of tracks on Broadway, but it would redo out by Tyson really well and get us some pavement where the semis always turn out and that road gets tore up. I get calls a couple times. I had one just about 2 o'clock today for 15 minutes about somebody asking what can be done about that road. This is probably the fourth or fifth thing I've tried. This is probably the fifth thing I've tried since I've been with the city to try to get some funding. So I ask that the county consider signing a couple letters. I did take the opportunity to, we're working with NDOT to do these letters. They sent out a thing. I did take the opportunity to fill in Marty's information if you would be willing to and okay with signing those. I have those for you. If not, we totally understand that this is late in the ball game, but just do ask that.
Can we motion to sign that with it not on the agenda?
Okay. So, yep. All right. What do you guys think? Since it's not on the agenda, we can do it under mail or emergency business and a letter of support for a project that obviously needs to be done. I would be in favor of doing it.
I would too. I mean, anything in the county.
Yeah, no, for sure.
Yeah, it's a busy road.
Rain on it.
There's one for Congressman Smith and one for Senator Fisher.
Okay.
Any
of
those? No, they won't.
But they can. They
won't. Thank you, guys. We appreciate it.
Thanks,
very
Bob.
Much.
Thank you, Bob. Thanks for helping out for the city, too.
You guys are hiring a full time here.
Yeah.
How's that going?
We've had some interviews.
Do we need to do a motion act and bring emergency business, or what are you thinking? Somebody wants to make a motion to.
Thank you very much.
Yes. Thank you.
Ready?
I can.
Yeah. Okay.
Do you want me now? Do you want now, or do you want dirty mail? Emergency.
Oh, I guess you didn't wait unless you want to do that now.
Okay.
It's not about to go. I'll do it during emergency. Okay.
Anybody else have anything to talk about that's not on today's agenda?
Hi, I'm Stephanie, your treasurer.
Hi.
I am stoked and I am pleased to announce that we had our tax sale this morning. And as of the beginning of the tax sale, we had started out with 123 parcels, which is over half of from last year. Today we had 76 parcels that was up for tax sale. Out of that 76, 50 parcels were sold, and we had 60 investors.
Oh.
So I'm very stoked that it's way down. Nice. And I'd like to thank Kim and Randy for help with the county certificates, and I'd like to thank the assessor's office for helping me get some phone numbers and stuff like that I needed, and of course the girls in the office for all their hard work.
All right, well, thanks for getting all that done.
Thank you, that's great.
I'll have good numbers for you in here at the end of the month.
Randy, you've only been at it 45 years. You should be able to get her knocked out. All right, anybody else on this, anything that's not on today's agenda? All right, consent agenda items. Approval of the previous minutes from February 17th, 2026. Approval of payroll from February 15th through February 28th, 2026. Approval of accounts payable claims, and then approval of accounts payable claims, if any. I came in earlier and went through payroll, and there were no accounts payable, and everything seemed to be in order.
All right, I'll make a motion to approve the consent agenda items A through D.
Second.
Rogelio?
Yes.
Brian?
Yes.
Rick?
Yes.
Jeff?
Yes.
Marty?
Yep. Next, we have Heidi Borg from Congressman Smith's office to give us an update on everything that's going on in Washington.
I might be here for a bit then. Well, good afternoon. My name is Heidi Borg with Congressman Smith's office. My official title is Agricultural Liaison, and then I handle the northeast part of the district for county visits. The third district covers 80 of Nebraska's 93 counties. We have offices in Grand Island, Scotts Bluff, and then we recently opened one in Nebraska City as they were added to the district. Congressman Smith continues to serve on the Ways and Means Committee as a senior member and is also chairman of the Trade Subcommittee. Some services from our office include help with a federal agency. This is where you may not be able to get an answer from a federal agency in a timely fashion, or if you feel you've been treated unfairly, our office may be able to help resolve a problem or get you the information you need. If you're visiting D.C., you can request tours and tickets, which are served as first-come, first-served basis to constituents. We have internships here in the district as well as D.C. These are just a few things, but always feel free to reach out with any questions. I generally give an update from the Ledge team, but today I thought I would highlight the Congressman's latest column. I don't know if you guys read them, but in regards to the President's State of the Union address, which we were just talking about. But from the column, Congressman says, it starts with affordability. Republican policies are delivering meaningful relief for working families. Measures like the working families tax cuts are helping Nebraskans keep more of their hard-earned paychecks. This tax season, Americans will see an average refund of nearly $4,000 and avoid a projected $1,700 tax hike, while a family of four will see nearly $11,000 added to its annual take-home pay. That is real, tangible relief at a time when every dollar counts. And the progress does not stop here. Inflation has fallen to 2.4%, gas prices are under $3, and mortgage rates have reached a three-year low. In January alone, 172,000 new private sector jobs were created nationwide, bringing unemployment down to 4.3%. Unlike the previous administration, job growth under President Trump has occurred entirely in the private sector, strengthening the industries that power Nebraska's economy, from agricultural and manufacturing to transportation and small business. Economic security, however, is only part of the equation. Nebraskans also expect safe communities and secure borders. Under President Biden, millions crossed the southern border illegally, straining law enforcement and resources nationwide. That approach is producing different results today. For nine consecutive months, no migrants have been released at the border. Federal authorities are coordinating with state and local law enforcement to remove dangerous criminals from our streets, including a violent MS-13 gang member arrested in Grand Island. President Trump is also focused on restoring American strength abroad. Ensuring that peace through strength is not just a slogan, but a strategy that deters adversaries and protects American interests. Taken together, the results are tangible. More take-home pay, lower costs, safer communities, and renewed economic strength. Still, there's more work to be done, especially when it comes to supporting agricultural, Nebraska's number one industry. In Congress, Congressman Smith will keep working to deliver certainty in trade policy, lower input costs, and strengthen markets so our agricultural producers can continue to feed and fuel the world. So, as always, please don't hesitate to reach out with questions, comments, concerns, you name it, we will hopefully be able to answer.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think that there's, you know, some of the projects that we're looking at, I mean, we need to reach out a little more than we have in the past, so... Heidi comes an hour before the when she comes and visit us, so anybody has the availability to stop and talk in to talk to her. So,
and I'll be at the meeting. Wednesday.
The joint yes. Meeting on yes. The 11th. So.
Yes.
So. Well, thank you for coming.
Yes, thank you. Have a good afternoon.
Thank you.
Simcoe. Josh Bush and Jenny Anderson to give a short overview of Dakota County Housing Trust Fund Program, local Hi. Match needs, and how the county can be involved. How are you folks doing?
Good. How are you?
Good.
Good. As you said, my name is Jenny Anderson. I'm the housing manager with Simcoe, and this is Joshua Bush, our finance director.
Hello.
So we wanted to come today to talk about a new board that we have established in Dakota County. Right now, I'm the housing manager of Simcoe, and right now we have housing grants primarily on the Iowa side of Simcoe, and those housing grants are for owner-occupied rehab, so for people that own their homes and need to apply for grant funding to get a new roof or windows that they can't afford. So we thought there was a need for that in Dakota County in areas that aren't currently being serviced, mostly like the rural areas and things like that, and obviously there's a huge need in South Sioux for that. So we put together a board on August 21st called the Dakota the Dakota County Nebraska Housing Trust Fund to serve local housing trust fund, to serve people in that area from the local housing trust fund money in Nebraska. The mission is to promote the preservation and development of affordable housing and to expand housing opportunities for low to moderate income individuals and families in Dakota County. We are working to apply for housing trust fund money when the application is available, which it's any day the pre-application is going to be available. Our board is planning to request $280,000 from the Nebraska Housing Trust Fund to use towards owner-occupied rehab projects in Dakota County. The maximum rehab amount per home for this grant would be $40,000, so each home could receive a maximum of $40,000 in assistance. That would, with that grant amount that we're requesting, that would be seven homes. So seven homes we would be able to provide rehab assistance for if each home was $40,000 max. Part of this grant it's on a point system, and so we're awarded points for different categories, and one of those categories is for cash match. So our board is planning to request 20% match from Dakota County. What we do on the Iowa side is the counties pay the match, and then they divide that amount per capita among the communities and request money back from those communities per capita. And then we serve every home in that county if they apply. What happens is if we ask for it per town, we've had that happen before on the Iowa side where there's certain towns that didn't want to contribute and some towns did contribute, and we don't want to exclude one town if that particular town doesn't contribute. So that's why we always ask for the counties to kind of front that money, and then the towns can contribute back to the county. So that is something that we are going to be working on. If we were able to get a 20% match from Dakota County, that would bring the total amount that we could spend towards homes in Dakota County for rehab to $336,000. As you can see, for the amount that you invest and the amount that you get back per home, it's a very, very good investment for the communities. And as everybody probably knows, housing is a huge issue in all communities. So to maintain your current housing stock is a big need and very important. Does anybody have any questions?
I do. So you did something like this in Hubbard. What kind of feedback or what kind of applications did you get in Hubbard?
That was CDBG. And we did end up getting some applications there that for some reason the people ended up backing out. But we already have put forward, we've started kind of promoting it already just to see.
I seen it on Facebook. That was my second question.
Yep.
What kind of
We have one person on the waiting list for Hubbard right now.
In general. So I've seen the Facebook post and I've shared it.
Yeah.
That you're doing this in Dakota County. What kind of application or what kind of feedback have you gotten? The feedback I got was not very good, just because the median income in Dakota County is so high, most people don't qualify. So what kind of feedback have you gotten, or have you gotten any applications that could be considered?
Well, we haven't started taking applications yet because we don't have the funding, but we started taking people to put on the waiting list. And so we have six families interested already on the wait list. One is from Hubbard. And so we are planning to apply for that amount, which would serve seven people, and we already have six on the waiting list.
I think more needs to be explained about it to the public. I was there for a lot of the Hubbard meetings, and people, I'm just going to say like this, the 1980s people are not familiar with grants. They wonder what it's going to cost them, what it's going to take from them, and they're not willing or welcome to put that into it, to be honest with you. You need to have more education about these programs, when you're rolling them out because they're scared. And putting a letter in their water bill isn't going
to
help.
Yeah. I know I personally went to meetings to explain it to people and try to answer any questions that people would have. So if we did get the money, we would obviously plan to do outreach and explain it to everybody. But
And as far as small community, I mean, you can see here, this is probably one of the best attended meetings.
Do I throw it?
But your villages don't usually get this kind of stuff. So putting more social media, more explanations, cartoons. I'm sorry to sound like this, but I mean, dumb it down to the ninth degree that this doesn't cost anybody. Because it's the same thing for like the weatherization programs or NENA. How many applications do they get?
All right. Well, thank you for coming in.
Yep.
And we'll kick it around.
Okay. Thank you. Thank you.
Appreciate it. Next, we're going to review an award bid for the gooseneck trailer.
The reason we put in for a trailer is one we have now. It's causing a few problems lifting the ramps. I made the rule we have to have two guys lifting it because you can't get it off the trailer. And we had a guy get injured from that. So, and also we've noticed that it started bowing out.
On the gooseneck trailer.
The bed, yes, the one we got now.
And what do you primarily use that for?
We haul the skid loader, we haul the mini excavator, we'll haul culverts on it. But we use it quite a bit, especially in the spring through fall. So. Yeah. I've taken it to three different places. RC, I took it, I had a kid from Waterbury that looked at it. We had Steffens look at it, and they have no idea what to do. They said it's going to cost quite a bit to put a hydraulic system. That's the best option. And like I said, to repair that deal, I had RC come out and look at it. He didn't even have to get closer. He says, I can see your problem already. So, so we each one of these bids, they all said they would take our trade for $10,000. So we thought, well, one injury is making up for what we're having problems with now. Now, one guy, if we get this, one guy can run it all. So
it's a no-brainer.
And how many bids did you get?
I got three bids. One from Marks, and one from Minnesota, and one from Lone Trail.
Are these still valid? Because they say 30 days. And I see one of them is from the 30th of January. One of them is from the 22nd of January. The ones further back.
Yeah, I talked to them all last week, and they're all, yeah. The first two options, they will have to be made. So they said it'd take anywhere from 4 to 6 weeks. The one from Minnesota, he said he's got it on the ground ready to go. But it's a little more money, so.
It is, but I was looking at that. The Minnesota one also has roughly $4,200 in upgrades. I mean,
right.
From the, you know.
And it's longer.
It's 2 foot longer. The heavier duty tires, 18 ply rather than 10 ply. I mean, it's set up quite a bit nicer, too. So.
And Dan Rohde had a trailer like that. I went out and looked at it. It is built heavy. Now the other ones, I mean, we just went from what they had. And I mean, they're all pretty decent, but that one is built everywhere.
And this is in was built into this year's budget?
Well, yeah, Julian and I kind of went over the numbers, and it'll work for us that way. So.
Any of the options?
That's all I found, yeah. And, I mean, we can...
But, I mean, you can make one, two, or three work in the budget.
Well, the three would be the tighter one, but the other two would work.
Well, what are you guys thinking?
Personally, I'd like to see us have it sooner than later. Like I said, we already had one guy get injured, and that's and they're going into time where they're going to be using it.
And then which vehicle primarily uses that?
We use that Ford Dually, and it handles that thing.
Does it? No problem.
Yeah.
Okay. Would that be your motion then, Jeff?
Man, what do you think, Brian? You're
going to go with the one from Minnesota?
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah, I'd make a motion to go ahead and option three.
I'll second that.
You guys want to state it on the record so that
what option three is.
Option three, the Minnesota for $29.9 with stipulation of the trade-in.
So that $29.9 is with the trade.
That's mm-hmm. not.
All of them gave us $10,000 for ours.
So that's our cost, actual cost.
Nope, that's just without our trade.
That's without the trade.
Without no. All of them are without the trade.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah. I agree with that.
And they said we could get more off big iron, but then that's going to cost us more for the budget.
And 10%.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
And
you never know.
Right. And right. you don't know what you're going right. to get. Exactly.
It's just easier just
to do
it this way.
Yeah, I agree. I just don't want anybody to get injured. That's our biggest thing.
And those it's ramps would be way easier to...
It's hydraulic. It's all hydraulic, so it's all push button.
Perfect. Even the ramps are hydraulic?
The whole
it's
this
whole
is the
beaver
deck.
Hill.
The whole deck
it's a beaver
down.
Okay. Right.
So you can actually drive the skid loader on the deck at an angle
and
lift it up.
Okay,
so,
perfect.
The other thing, I was looking at these two quite a bit. The one that... that concerned me about the, I think it was the H&H from Marks, that they have a manual lock that you had to do too.
Mm-hmm.
Again, kind of defeats the purpose of, I can see that being the issue down the road, trying to throw that lock in.
Yep.
Or forgetting to.
Yeah, and like I said, Minnesota's got a lot of options on that we would use.
Yeah.
Oh, second owner, so.
All right, Brian.
Yes.
Rick?
Yes.
Jeff?
Yes.
Marty?
Yep.
Rogelio?
Yes.
Review and award bid for road department, state bid for pickup to share with the weed department.
I'm going to let Brandon take this one.
I'm the superintendent for the county, but anyways, the weed truck that we have currently, the ones that I didn't use, which is G1 and G4 mainly. G1, it's a half ton, it needs a transmission, and when I'm pulling these trailers, I'm noticing that when you're heading down, you know, like the sign trailer, it wants to, you know, move around.
Sway,
so it's not even made for, that trailer's not even for, I shouldn't be using that. But then the G4, that needs a new front end rebuilt. I was in that yesterday and just going down the road to get on the highway, it was kind of scary itself, you know, just driving it. It has multiple issues.
And to pull our spray trailer, we got a side-by-side and a tank on it, mm-hmm. a 3/4 ton to do that. And been using that G4, but like you said, it's getting...
I think the G4 has...
226,000 miles on it.
Yeah.
It's on gravel
roads. Something we're thinking. Rodney asked me earlier today, he says, well, what are you guys going to do with the old ones? And I said, well, I like the little half-ton. Be something if he needed to use one. I mean, it still needs work, but like he said, he don't do that much with it, so
mm-hmm.
it's an option.
And which one's that one? G what?
G1. That F-150.
Yeah.
They all got lots of miles. The older ones all got a lot of miles on
mm-hmm. them. And this is for 3/4 ton.
This is we have one on the ground. The one bid was from Ford. I never did hear back from the other ones shipping that, but Ford has one with the 7.3-liter gas. And I said, well, what's the difference between that and the 680? He said about 50 horse and a lot more torque. He says it's good for trailers. The bid that the state does, I mean, it was plain. The one they got has a fifth wheel plate already in it, so we need it as a backup. It's got all the towing package on it, so... it's good to go. So that's totally up to you guys there. I mean, $2,000 more but for that 7.3, but in the long run, if I was buying it personally, I'd go with the 7.3 over 6.8 just because of the horsepower.
What about going with the diesel?
We thought about that, but there again, you're talking almost $10,000 more pickup. So, I mean, we just thought if he goes to meetings or something, the gas would be a little better for him, or I don't know. It's any more, you know, it's up to you guys. We can go with diesel. It's just.
Yeah, like for running out to meetings, I would just use whichever one is the most fuel efficient.
Right.
I would.
Right now, diesel's more than gas, so I don't know.
Yeah. Is it, again, this question, in the budget for this year?
Well, I mean, we were doling. You want to kind of, we've kind of went over stuff because we were looking at a tractor. We might have to, we're going to figure out something there yet, but that's.
I mean, I feel pretty comfortable with how the budget is. We've been a guy short almost a year, and after we kind of had the labor management the other day, I don't think we're going, there's some things to work through before we could hire somebody, so I don't see that happening right away, so we can have that leeway if we split the cost with the weed department.
Okay.
I'm comfortable with it.
And there's enough money in the weed budget for half?
Not much has been spent out of it. So I don't think I would go full half. I think what it
we left like
20,000 out of the weed budget and then the rest out of the road budget. And that still gives him 9,000 for the rest of the budget here.
What do you guys think?
Right now, we have nothing for the weed department. So we sold those on last call because they went to a better place.
Well, if we get this for the weed department, we get the 7-liter engine instead of the smaller one, they'll be able to use it for the road department, too.
Yeah, and I think that's the plan, to kind of
push
dual
comes
use.
To shove, it'll get used there, too. Because
we also had that old John Deere trailer we had out there. It had trailer house axles under it.
Yeah.
It was heavy built. We couldn't get tires or anything like that anymore, so we put new trailer, and we put the water tank on it. So if we need to go spray some roads down, it'll be set up for it. So we'll have, if we ever need something else pull, there's another thing to pull. So.
Okay.
It does have the.
I'd go with the heavier duty, 3/4 ton.
And we still think we can do a tractor.
We still have money up for a payment. Have money set aside for a payment. Yep.
Yeah. As long as we can, because that's something we're gonna have to have.
Barring a natural disaster.
Yeah. Right.
Where
which could always happen.
Yeah.
We can't control that.
Right.
I
told you it was a snow much this year.
So moved to approve.
Yep. Second.
Rick?
Yes.
Jeff?
Yes.
Marty?
Yep.
Rogelio?
Yes.
Brian?
Yes.
And that's for the 734 that he's got on the ground, so we can.
Yeah.
Okay. All right, thank you.
I know I'm like a broken record with if it's built into the budget, but as Heidi said earlier, you know, the inflation rate's going to go down, which means that our hard lid is going to be going down too. So we need to really pay attention to it. All right. M Avenue, board to approve a letter of support for paving grant with 20% financial support.
So like Bob was saying earlier in public comments, I'm also applying for that congressional grant. The what we would be asking for grant money would be $3,811,008. Our share would be 20% of this number here is what we would be asking for. The total project cost is $4,763,760. The county share would be just under $953,000. This is for paving M Avenue from the bridge south. I had MDOT is helping with this. I did have Papio NRD sitting in on a meeting last week, and they said that they would be willing to contribute some money to help pay for our 20%. And Jody Gibson with MDOT thought the state parks, which they manage their money, that they kind of be a drop in the bucket to help give us some money. So worst case scenario, it'd be $953,000. Best case scenario, we get a lot of support and maybe pay a third of that. So you never know unless you try.
That's exactly right. And, you know, if you get 80% of anything paid for, you know, we could always see what we could do. I mean, bond something or get it figured out.
Yeah, and that was another question, how we would fund it, or 8 or 20%. And I said, well, either budgeting or bonding. So, mm-hmm. and this would fall in the 27-28 budget.
Yep.
So it could be a year before we hear anything, or we might get it, and it still might be another year before we get the money. But they said once we get the money, it has to be completed within 3 years, I think they said, or let within 3 years. So we would have a little time to
mm-hmm.
build that into our budget, too, if need be. So.
No, if we could get into something like that, it'd be a huge help. That project's been looked at for a long time, and
right.
we're going to need help to do that project for sure. Mm-hmm.
So I gave Sheree copies of letters to sign for board
yep.
support. Okay.
Perfect.
Thank you.
All right. Well, thank you.
Make a motion that the board chair sign the letters of support for the paving grant.
Second.
So the next one for M Avenue
do
is...
Do roll call real quick.
Oh, sorry. That's sorry.
Jeff?
Yes.
Marty?
Yep.
Rogelio?
Yes.
Brian?
Yes.
Rick?
Yes.
Okay.
So is the cost share, or not the cost share, the cost that the county would incur for paving the 600 feet from where Hubbard's leaving off at Martinix out to the bridge.
Yep.
So he's got a little information for you there.
Yeah, my name is Baylor Beshin. I'm a civil engineer for JEO Consulting Group in South Sioux City, Nebraska. Jolene reached out to me. I was the engineer in charge of the Hubbard project. They're paving their portion of the street within the village limits. And so I looked at the contractor costs for our project, applied it to about your 600 linear feet of road between the village limits and the bridge, and I estimate it to be about $200,000 in construction costs. If you should choose to use JEO as your engineer, we charge a fee of about $20,000, so all said and told about $220,000 for the total project. We'd have to work fast. The Hubbard project's already bid out, and contractors been hired, and they're, you know, seasons changing and they're looking to get out there. So I'll give you a brief breakdown of where my costs came from. Planned to be 11-foot travel lanes with 4-foot shoulders on each side. That would be 9-inch doweled concrete pavement. Lux Trucking uses that road, so it'd be good to beef it up a little bit. And then obviously whatever traffic uses it for the Danish Alps area. And then that cost also includes the bridge approach for the north side of the bridge. We'll have to do a little thicker paving there with rebar in the approach. That's kind of a high level overview. It's my understanding that the county will come in and grade the ditches for the roadway. There are currently no ditches out there today, but if you pave it, you'll want to grade the ditches. Any questions for me?
Who was awarded the contract for the city's portion?
RP Constructors was awarded the contract, and we had a meeting with Jolene. They're subbing out the paving portion to Steve Harris Construction. It's my understanding if you guys would move forward with this, you would primarily be working with Steve Harris Construction. I don't think from our meeting, RP would kind of back out of it since there would really be no reason for them to be involved because this would have to be a separate standalone project.
So if they're doing the paving, what is RP doing? The drainage or the... What did they do?
For the Hubbard project?
Yeah, which portion?
Yeah, they're doing storm sewer, so they've already laid a little storm sewer. And I think it was RP's intention that they would pave when they first bid it, and then, you know, schedules change over the winter, and and they brought in Steve Harris. So that's kind of the background there.
I know...
I was at that meeting. They were awarded the bid.
RP?
Because the USDA is where they were, Hubbard was getting the funding. And they were the lowest bid at the time.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I know city's portion of it, they had plans to put a go around on the construction. If we move forward with this, we're going to have to close, right? How long would it have to close, do you know? Right.
Yeah, that's still, you know, this is happening so fast. That's something I've been working out in my mind because, you know, I told this to Hubbard. Hubbard was in on that meeting as well. You know, if we have to close down the 600 feet for the bridge anyway, it makes that go around, you know, the temporary gravel road almost essentially, I don't want to say useless. There could be a use for it, but in my mind, it'd be better if we could phase it out where we're doing longer shots of paving at one time, get it quicker. Time-wise, you know, for a full closure, you know, I think they could probably pave it all in 3 days, and then you'd have to wait a week. And then there would be some handwork, the Poplar intersection there. There would be some handwork there, which increases time. I think conservatively, you'd want to prepare yourself for, like, being a month down from using that roadway, month and a half. Contractor works fast. I've worked with Steve Harris before. Yeah. They work extremely fast, but yeah, you got to prepare yourself mentally for the worst.
Yeah, if they don't have any weather issues, they'll be in and out.
Right.
Yeah. You just can't control that. And they didn't have an issue with closing.
Yeah. For the benefit, you can go put up with a little hardship for that kind of benefit.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
So I'll add on to that. The guidance I have for you today that I'd be looking for is if you guys should so choose to use JEO for an engineer, I will prepare a contract to submit to, I believe it would be 2 weeks, a possible meeting you guys have to approve that contract, and then we get started on the design to do the work.
And again, Jolene, the same question for everybody. I know we've talked about you had some money reserved for some types of things. So.
Yeah. Our federal aid budget. Been hoping to put that towards North Bluff Road, but we don't know where that is yet, so
yeah,
we can't hardly.
No, if we have somebody out there, we'll never do it cheaper for sure. And
so we have the $200,000 in your budget to do it.
Okay,
it's federal aid, and I mean, it makes sense. He's already done, JEO's already done a lot of the legwork already. I mean, I don't think we can do it any cheaper anywhere else.
No,
I just tack it on to, like I said, what they've done.
Yeah, I would have. I'd agree. I'd make a motion to enter an agreement with JEO and have them prepare, or at least have them prepare the documents for our next meeting.
Yeah, and then you guys would have your last day when you actually have the document in front of you, for sure.
So
I'll second that.
Awesome. Thank you, guys.
Thank you.
Thank you.
All right. Marty?
Yep.
Rogelio?
Yes.
Brian?
Yes.
Rick?
Yes.
Jeff?
Yes.
You ready for some letters? Board to approve RCM LLP CPA's engagement letter for the ARPA alternative compliance exam, and chair to sign.
Teresa, I think that's you.
No, that's our ARPA funds.
Yep, is there anybody here to?
That's somebody else. All right.
That's my office. Our ARPA funds, we have to have them audited. And so this is a letter allowing our auditors to do this audit.
So since we're under the threshold, do the partial audit instead of the full audit, which would cost considerably more.
Yes. Yeah.
Motion to approve the signing. Signing
letter. All right, Rogelio?
Yes.
Brian?
Yes.
Rick?
Yes.
Jeff?
Yes.
Marty?
Yep. Jolene, Highway Superintendent with the road report.
Hello again.
Hi. Hello again.
We had 125.5 hours of maintaining. Starting to get nice enough out there, we can kind of make a little bit of a difference. 2.5 hours in overtime, 152 hours on tree removal. I don't know if anybody's been down South Bluff Road, but quite a difference already.
Yep.
16 hours fixing the guardrail on Atticad. People seem to think that take that corner a little fast and knock that out for us. 31 hours on R Avenue. The operator out there is widening and building up a minimum maintenance road to make it more passable for the equipment going through there. 24.5 hours on the magnets, 38.5 hours with signs, and we had requests for grading on Fiddler, Weigel, and L Avenue. And I don't know if I mentioned this at all, but we did get the grant for the scrap tire, and that's scheduled for May 15th and 16th, Friday and Saturday, from 8 to 4 both days.
What were the hours?
8 to 4.
15th and 16th.
Uh-huh. Hopefully it'll be a nice weekend. We've been out in the storms and the hail, and we've been sunburnt.
Yeah,
yeah.
How many tons?
I'm going to say 130 tons.
When we've gone over in the past, they've covered that, have they? But
they
no
have.
Guarantee they will.
They have, yeah, there's no guarantee. If some of the other entities don't go over, they got some tonnage to spare, then that's why I kind of like to generally have it a, like maybe June. That way some of them have already been done already, and then they know if there's extra funds. But Butler County Landfill said if we needed to wait with this budget and pay it in the next budget, and then if we push it back a little on the payment end of it, we still might, if we do go over, that might give us an opportunity to pick up some extra tonnage from some other entities that didn't use it.
And we'd already kind of pushed this back into this budget, hadn't we, from the previous?
Yeah.
Yeah. So
May's early, too.
It is.
It is.
But we've done it in 100-degree heat, and like I said, I'm hoping this is...
It's amazing how many tires you guys pick up in 2 days, that's for sure. It's like a mountain by then.
I know. I want to say last time we were around 140, 150, but we hadn't had it for a couple of years because of COVID.
Every tire you can imagine, too. Every size, shape.
Yep. We even have people go through and pick some out for their like little gardens or strawberry beds. They'll get tractor tires or whatever, or need some tires for a vehicle. Yeah, they'll go, can we go look through?
They can have
tires.
All they want.
Take what you need. Yeah. Any questions?
No.
Okay. Thank you. And thanks for the equipment.
Yep.
As expensive as tires are.
You don't get much on the backside, do you?
Yeah. You can dig through them.
Mm-hmm. True. Teresa Groves, Health Department Director.
Hi.
Right.
This last quarter, we had 237 kids come through our vaccination clinics. We offered 5-night clinics. We now have a total of 15 grants that we work on. We just got one new one for $100,000, and then we got a fund for $15,000.
What's that mean, a fund?
It's United Healthcare gives us money to go out and do like blood pressures and stuff, and then we can spend it any way we want. We don't have to
do a
budget for them or anything. It's upfront funding.
Okay.
Yep. And that's it. Do you have any questions, comments, concerns?
Doing a great job.
Lots of kids getting that immunized.
I know. Good thing with the measles popping up.
I thought we eradicated that.
Well, we did. People decided not to.
For the pensions.
Something with the doctors, I guess.
Commissioner committee reports. Anybody have anything in the last 2 weeks?
I had an area agency on aging. Big update, Connie, their executive director, turned in her resignation, so she will be resigning in September. So I'm on the hiring committee to hire a new director, so we'll start doing that here in the next couple of weeks. Also, just on a side note, I've been messaging with Cherie and MIPS, and we're working on putting a committee together to get our website updated. We talked to them at the NACO board, so I will probably get with you because you know a lot about computers. So we're working on that. So we're going to try to designate a person from each department to kind of have those, like, what needs to be updated, what needs what. I already had a handful of departments reach out and tell me who that designee is. We're going to have a training through MIPS to get all that stuff sorted out. So that website should be up and going relatively soon.
I haven't gone through some of the websites of the counties that have had them redone by MIPS. Very user-friendly and lots of information out there. So
that's the plan.
And if I can get through it, you know it's user-friendly.
Especially on your phone.
Especially on his phone.
Mm-hmm. Any other commissioner committee reports?
I had North Star Services meeting in Northport a couple weeks ago. Nothing real big to report there. Budget, of course, very tight there as well. But they're doing a great job with it. Got a great director.
And I had Region 4 mental health and substance abuse, and one of the main topics we talked about was the new facility that Heartland's doing and what a great job they're doing, not only in our community, but Heartland reaches all the way out to O'Neill and beyond. So, yeah, lots of good stuff.
I had the housing thing, and that's why they were here, so they could explain more than mm-hmm. I was going to be able to.
Yep. Well, thanks for sitting on that Simcoe board. Mail or emergency business?
Make a motion, Marty, the chair, to sign the letter of support for Dakota County, or for Dakota City, for their grant.
Second.
Go ahead, Brad.
Got to click on the draw. That's the last guy.
All right, Brian?
Yes.
Rick?
Yes.
Jeff?
Yes.
Marty?
Yep.
Rogelio?
Yes.
The other thing I would just remind everybody on the 11th, the joint meeting between the counties, cities, and school districts in our county will be at the El Ranchito at 5:30. And
you all RSVP'd.
And other than that, Brian, did you have something?
Yeah, I'd like to make a motion to adjourn.
Second.
That's become a tradition, Brian.
Yes, it is. That's okay.